As a mom, Sarah Walton has learned to look for God's grace when she's tempted to play the comparison game.
We compare the inside of our lives to the outside of other moms, and we think, well, I am not measuring up. To me, a lot of times grace has looked like accepting my limitations and realizing God isn't surprised by my limitations and he's not disappointed by them.
Welcome to the Revive Our Hearts podcast for April 1st, 2025. I'm Dana Gresh, and our host is the author of Choosing Gratitude, Nancy DeMoss Walkemuth.
When you're feeling overwhelmed or like you just don't meet the standards placed on you by society or by your group of friends or even your own standards for yourself, what do? How does the gospel speak to you in that moment? That's what our guests today are going to be talking about, specifically in the context of motherhood. My friends Sarah Walton and her mother, Linda Green, have written a book together entitled, He Gives More Grace. That's a phrase taken from James chapter 4. And aren't you glad? I like to think of God's grace as being kind of like an ambulance that he sends when we're in trouble and we cry out to him for help. And in that moment, he gives us tailor-made grace. Well, if you're a mom, you know how often you need that ambulance. Sarah Walton and Linda Green know it too. Dana sat down with them over a video call to talk about this whole idea of depending on the grace of God in the everyday moments of a mom's life. Let's listen together.
I'm looking at a mother, a daughter, and I'm thinking, you look like you might have those best friend moments. You look like you're probably a mom and daughter who pray together. I can imagine looking in on the life that you share, that it would be easy for some of us to look at you and say, super moms, right there. They've got it. What would you say to that?
No way. Actually, we kind of laugh because I have told my parents very often that I've been a great sanctifying tool in their life. So they really should be grateful for me in that regard. But yeah, it has by no means been an easy road. And I would say actually it's a sweet picture of redemption rather than a picture-perfect mother-daughter relationship because there really is no such thing. But God's been very gracious in our long road.
Yeah. What would you say, Linda?
I would just add, God has used Sarah in beautiful ways in my life, and he's also used Sarah to bring me to my knees in utter desperation for his grace. And
and
he has been such a faithful father to do that, but I had to learn a lot of my own lessons along the way.
Yeah, God does tend to get two things done at once, or many things. Take us back to, Linda, when Sarah was little. You know, those 2, 3, 4-year-old years. How was the Lord using her to sanctify you then?
Well, first of all, she was our first daughter. And so I was just thrilled to have a girl after 2 boys. But she was a very strong-willed little girl right from the get-go. If I said no, then she saw that as a challenge. And so she was the one who climbed up and got into my purse and had lipstick all over her face. And she was the one who climbed up on the table and ate the whole back of a birthday cake that we were planning to serve.
That's Sarah.
For a birthday party that night.
I promise I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. So I'm sure that's funny now, but at the moment, whose birthday was it?
It was her brother's, not hers. So, yeah, there were those challenges. As she got into school, she had a lot of sickness. She had a lot of stomach aches. She had a lot of nightmares at night. So those were some of the challenges we dealt with, along with she kind of started doing things behind our back, like she was not allowed to cross the street to her friend's house, and one day I just happened to look out the window and saw her running across the street with her bike. So, you know, there were those kinds of things that we just, right from the beginning, God was giving me opportunities to pray.
Sarah, do you have anything to say to defend yourself?
Oh, well, I could go on for a long time. I think also the difference is our personalities were very different, even from the beginning. So I was very much more of a typical third born, last, youngest child, the only girl. And so I think I pushed those boundaries a little bit more, but I was also kind of a free-spirited child. And so I think the difference of our personalities, where my mom was a bit more
rule following.
And I like to push those boundaries a little bit. You know, rules were more of suggestions than obligations. you know, I think that was just a learning process. But I think often, you know, your weaknesses can become your strengths too. So God's also used that flexibility and that ability to go with the flow in my life. But that was not as pretty looking at the beginning. And the other thing was I was a complete tomboy. So I think she was expecting a daughter that loved dolls and dresses, and I wanted nothing to do with it. So I wanted to hang with the boys and roll in the dirt and play, you know, sports and stuff. And so I think we all as moms can experience that too, that there's going to be some of our kids that we just don't connect with as easily because they aren't cut from the same cloth that we are. So I think that added another element for us.
Well, you've definitely got the attention of a lot of us as moms. You've got the attention of the mom who's got the preschooler, the 2-3-year-old, the willful, rebellious child, the teenager that's doing crazy things, and the mom who's just got a child who's really different. She's trying to understand him or her.
Yeah.
What ingredient got you through, Linda? What ingredient from God's rule book of life was the one you needed to be the mother he meant for you to be in Sarah's life?
Well, I would say I was learning to understand what the gospel looked like in my life every day. I knew the gospel had saved me. I knew Christ had saved me by his power, by his grace alone. But I was feeling very confident in my parenting when I started. And God just used each of the challenges to help me to see my own weakness, my own need, and to drive me further and further into prayer. And, you know, I tried everything I could that I knew in my own wisdom, in my own strength. And so when those things stopped working, or when I felt like my words were not cutting it, I had no wisdom. God used that in my life to drive me to him and to understand that the gospel is a journey of grace all the way along, not just for our salvation, but for every single day. And our weaknesses help us to see our need for that grace and run to it more quickly.
Okay, I want you to unpack that word grace. Because I think we throw it around a lot.
Yeah.
It can be a Christian-easy word, but it's not because it's in the Bible. It's a word God wants to use to fuel us for life. And this is one of those spaces when motherhood gets hard, we need his grace. So how would you define that word?
Well, biblically, grace is God's favor bestowed on undeserving sinners. None of us deserve his grace. And I think of his grace as his power that is perfected in us. So that grace, that power, that strength, that wisdom comes through his word, through his Holy Spirit, as we depend on him and rely on him. So, I mean, we understand that for saving grace, but I need to understand that I need him for everything, every decision I make. It's like I think of the manna in the wilderness that, you know, God provided for the Israelites. They couldn't collect that manna more than for one day. They had to go out and collect it for that day and trust that he would provide it. So I think we can get up in the morning and think, I'm confident about this day, I know what I'm doing, and charge into it in our own strength, rather than starting off and saying, Lord, you and you alone know what this day holds. I have no wisdom of my own, no strength of my own. And moment by moment, learning, obviously that doesn't just happen overnight, but learning to go to him and seek his wisdom and his help for everything, even when we feel like we've got the answers.
Right. Which, as moms, we can tend to do. Sarah, you're sitting there not just as the daughter of Linda, but as the mother of how many children? Three?
Four.
Four. How does grace work for you as a mom? What would you say?
So I really love thinking in a lot of practical ways. I mean, really on the ground as moms, what does grace look like? And I think it can look in a lot of different levels. You have the spiritual level of grace of finding our confidence, our wisdom, our identity in Christ, not in our motherhood, not in how well our children are doing, not in anything circumstantial. But then you have the really nitty-gritty aspects of grace where I maybe am facing a child who is screaming and I have absolutely no idea what to do with this child. I feel so out of my realm. I don't know how to relate to her in this moment. So one example would be I have one that loves to erupt from like 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. And her emotions become so large, it's easy for my emotions to want to match that.
Oh yeah.
And in that moment, I feel this tension either to become extremely emotional and angry like her, which never serves anybody well, or somewhat panic because I just don't know how to handle it.
Or angry,
whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I remember this one time she had done something. She had gotten a little fight with one of her siblings and she had been the main cause of it. And she ran away screaming, which completely baffled me because I thought, child, you are the cause of this problem. And you're running away screaming like you are the victim here. And she ran up and sat on the stairs. And I felt so overwhelmed with her reactions and not knowing how to even reach her heart in that moment because she was so emotional. And so I went upstairs, I sat next to her, and I just simply prayed, Lord, I have no idea how to understand this kid right now. I have no idea what words will help. I don't want to match her emotion and make this worse, but I'm feeling my own angst. Help me know what in the world to do. And as I sat there, I just, all of a sudden, the Lord gave me in the moment a thought of this girl my daughter is responding to shame right now. She's not emotional just because she's angry. She's embarrassed that she hurt her sibling and she doesn't know what to do with those feelings. So just like in the garden, we want to run. We want to run and hide. And so we want to be angry that the other person is, you know, in some ways at blame because they made us sin. And it ended up little by little, I asked her, Haley, are you feeling embarrassed and sad that you hurt your sibling? And her sobs slowed a little bit and she kind of nodded. And little by little, I just saw God lead me in conversation. I almost didn't know the step ahead before I took it. It just was one step at a time. And it was such a sweet picture to me of God guiding us in our realization. Like my mom was saying, when we feel our weakness and our lack of not knowing what to do, which we are faced with every day in so many ways. So that's one way. Other ways are when we feel like we're failing our kids. I mean, I feel that sense of never doing enough all the time. I think every mom does. There's always more we can be doing.
And well, and one glance at social media will tell
yes.
you
oh, yeah.
you definitely aren't measuring up because your house doesn't look like this one.
Exactly.
And your recipes don't turn out like that one.
Yes.
Your family pictures aren't looking this way, you know?
Yes.
So I think it's worse than ever.
Yes,
we feel
it is.
That.
Yeah, it's in our face everywhere we look. And I think to your point, we see these little squares on Instagram or whatever we're on and see, and typically what moms are showing are the strengths they have. What we don't see is all the areas that are their weaknesses. And so we assume every mom has every strength. Every mom is in the gym. She's cooking amazing meals. She's loving her. She's the fun mom. She's doing crafts. They have the money to spend. I mean,
she's the sugar-free mom.
Perfect. Exactly. All in all the little facets that can look. We compare the inside of our lives to the outside of other moms, and we think, well, I am not measuring up. My poor children, they got stuck with me as a mom. And so I think it's, to me, a lot of times grace has looked like accepting my limitations and realizing God isn't surprised by my limitations, and he's not disappointed by them. He knew the kids he was going to give me. He knew I battle chronic illness, too. So I battle guilt that I can't do everything I want to do with my kids. I feel bad when their faces are hanging because they wish I could go do something with them. And so one other practical example is I remember feeling like I saw my kids bickering a lot this one week. And I just felt like I am failing as a mom. Like if I look at my children right now, I have dropped the ball in so many ways. They're bickering. They're ungrateful. They're not doing chores. You know, the list could go on. And I remember standing, looking in our fridge and seeing all these dishes that had like moldy food growing on them and thought, okay, yep, now that's the last straw. I'm completely a failure as a mom. And one of my boys saw tears start coming down. And granted, one of these boys contributes a lot to the challenges I face. So I didn't really want to have to answer what was wrong because I kind of was like, well, you're part of the problem. But he did, and he pushed, and he said, Mom, what's wrong? And I said, sweetie, I'm just really overwhelmed. Lots going on. I'm just struggling. And he immediately calls to his young brother and says, come here. Mom, we're going to take care of you. You take care of everybody. We're going to go take care of you. And they ran upstairs and grabbed my daughter's toy foot spa and gave me a back rub. And it was this sweet picture of God using the children. I felt like I was falling short to point to the truth. I felt like I was failing to actually be an avenue of God's grace to me. And it was such a sweet picture. And to be very clear, that is not a common occurrence in my home. So that was why it was so sweet.
I struggled in a different way. Mm. I don't think you can give grace that you haven't first understood. And I, unlike Sarah, I was a rule follower. I grew up, I was the firstborn obedient child. I became a teacher. I loved my teaching. I got lots of accolades. Thought, okay, now we're just going to do this with children. And, you know, and I loved that. And I had a lot of creative ideas. God had to take me down a whole different path to teach me how much I needed his grace. And so in that way, he used not only Sarah, but all of my children to bring me to the end of myself and teach me who he was and who I was and my need for him. I guess the scripture that he has used the most in my life is 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he, you know, he taught me to delight in him above all else, above my children, above anything that I was putting my confidence in. And so all the scripture that I was becoming a student of his word, and he just kept bringing his word to my mind and helping me to see how much I needed to depend on and the truth of that word every day. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day.
Yeah.
I had baked cookies, big chocolate chip cookies one day for my children, and I had put them on the counter to cool, ran to do some laundry. My boys had friends over. They were running around outside. And when I came back in the kitchen 15 minutes later, almost all those cookies were gone. There were like two cookies left on the counter. And I immediately drew the conclusion that they had eaten those cookies. And so I ran outside and I started really reaming them out for going in and eating the cookies without asking my permission. And they all looked at me blankly like, what? We didn't eat anything. So you can see how that scenario played out. And a few hours later, our six-month-old Labrador puppy started throwing up chocolate.
Oh, no.
And in that moment,
twist.
This was just one of the ways God was showing me I need to receive grace and I need to give grace.
Yeah. You guys have told that story so well today that we've got to receive it first. We've got to go to the cross.
Yeah.
We've got to pause in the crazy moments and ask the Lord for wisdom. I think we've all had Labrador ate the brownies moments in our lives where we just need to pause and say, Lord, what is really happening here? And can you fill me with more of you right now? Sarah, how do you get filled up enough with the Lord and the truth that in those moments when you're looking at the moldy food in the refrigerator, I'm going to treasure that you said that because it soothes my heart greatly to know that Sarah Walton also finds occasionally science projects growing in a refrigerator.
Oh, yes.
How do you prepare yourself and fill yourself up with the grace of Jesus so that at those moments, the grace kicks in?
Yeah. Well, it is obviously so important that we need to be in God's word, but I will be the first to say, no, that's challenging in a lot of seasons in ways we all maybe want to. You know, before we have kids, it's easier to sit down and be in the Bible as long as we'd like. You know, I'm a journaler, and so that's helpful for me to process things. But as soon as I had the little kids and you're up all night and life is crazy, and even if you plan to try to get up early, they always tend to rise equally the same time you do. Mm-hmm. So you have so many seasons where you have to get creative in what that looks like. And so the thing that has really been such a gift to me is Psalm 103:14, for he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. Mm-hmm. Mm. And it has been such a sweet reminder to me, just the simplicity of that in a couple ways. First, in him knowing there are going to be seasons that it's really hard for us to sit at his feet the way we want to be able to absorb that truth, absorb that wisdom, kind of bring ourselves in line with what's true instead of what's going on in our heads. I'm a chronic overthinker, and so I am typically in my head way more than I should, and that often doesn't lead me anywhere good. And so being in scripture is where that tends to kind of bring those thoughts down to surface level to match whether those are true or completely leading me in a bad direction. Mm-hmm. So that has had to look very different in different seasons. Sometimes it has looked by literally that day only being able to listen to worship songs. Other times it's a verse that I write down on a card and I just try to rehearse that verse to myself whenever I can, or it's there just so that God has an opportunity even to remind me of it in the chaos. Or then the times when my husband graciously gives me an hour out and I go and find somewhere quiet because I can't find it in the house. You know, I mean, it might look different for everybody depending on our situations, but trying to find those moments, but also understanding God sees our hearts and he knows our desires and he will give us the grace for the capacity we also have. And then it's also when you do find that moldy food in the fridge, of realizing God is not disappointed in me that I have moldy food in the refrigerator. He's not as disappointed in me as I am. And if the God in the universe isn't, why am I being so hard on myself that I expect to be perfect all the time, that I expect to be able to juggle every ball perfectly and never drop one? It's not reality. And on top of that, he knows I deal with chronic pain and illness that limits me even further. And so when those thoughts come to my mind, when I see that picture of the mom that's doing a really fun craft with her kids, or they're out at the water park and I feel terrible that day and my kids are like, "Mom, can you take us somewhere?" And I have to say, "Guys, I just can't today. Like, I'm really not feeling well. Can we just play a game here?" And I see the disappointment on their face. Again, that he knows my frame. He knows that I am but dust. I am a human being that has limitations by my humanity, and God knew that. And so God can actually use my humanity, not just in my life, but in my kids. He's actually been able to use my limitations in many ways to teach my children things that in my head I'm thinking this is hurtful to them. It's making them miss out on something good. But instead, a lot of ways what he's used it for is teaching them compassion, teaching them that they will not always get what they want, and that's okay. Teaching them the world doesn't revolve around them. And so I think I just have to often remember, not only am I limited, but my children are limited, and we are all working this out together as we grow. And goodness gracious, we need a lot of grace in that process.
We do need a lot of grace. We're talking with Sarah Walton and Linda Green, the authors, mother-daughter authors of He Gives More Grace, from our friends at the Good Book Company. I'm wondering if you guys, I feel like we've just gotten started. Would you come back tomorrow? I'd like to talk a little bit more about two things specifically. What is God teaching us in all of this craziness of motherhood? And how do we pray so that his grace does fill the gaps? Would you come back tomorrow so we can continue this conversation?
We would love to.
Sure.
Well, Sarah Walton and her mom, Linda Green, have been offering moms what I'm sure is a breath of fresh air, realizing that they're not alone in the struggles they face. And at the same time, pointing moms to God's grace in the gospel. They've been talking with Dana Gresh, the co-host of Revive Our Hearts. Sarah and Linda's book is called He Gives More Grace. It contains 30 reflections for the ups and downs of motherhood through the years.
And there are plenty of those, aren't there? So whatever season of motherhood you may be in right now, this would be a great resource for you to go through on your own, any time of the year. And it would also be a wonderful gift to give for Mother's Day coming up next month. There's more information about the book, He Gives More Grace, linked within the transcript of this program on our website, reviveourhearts.com. You can also access the transcript through the Revive Our Hearts app. Well, as Dana mentioned, tomorrow Linda and Sarah will be back with more encouragement for moms as they learn to lean on God's grace in the midst of their limitations and frustrations. I hope you'll be back with us here on Revive Our Hearts.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.